From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you, welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are broadcasting live. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We're in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. The 12th annual WSSP Toy Drive, benefiting the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and Robin's Nest and all the satellite charities that get helped out by that. And we can't say thank you enough. To those of you that have come by and donated, thank you, because you people are great. For those of you that haven't, maybe you've been thinking about it, maybe you thought about putting something together with the kids, with the neighborhood, or just yourself walking in, don't hesitate. Please make a little time, take a little time, and join us, whether it's via the internet at 1057fmthefan.com or actually showing up down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and dropping your card in the dip jar, or you can just go in and pick up a new unwrapped toy, or if you're out and about. You know, hey, maybe you're one of the local malls and you want to grab a toy and just drop it off. Please feel free to do so. We cannot do this without you. This portion of the program brought to you by a lot of great sponsors that are not only bringing us here, but are also going to take us to Atlanta for the NFL's biggest party. That is Super Bowl. And we're going to be down there again this year. Radio Row. We're going to be brought to you by our great friends at Brumar Productions. Hey, don't forget Eagle Mania, the world's greatest Eagles tribute band. Thursday, January 17th, going to be in Green Bay at the Meyer Theater. Friday, January 18th at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire. And Saturday, January 19th, with Ryan McIntyre and Miles and his new wife, Allie Wangren. They're going to be at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. And man, are they good. So if you're going to get out and about, check them out. Also, our friends at Robert Hack Diamonds on Greenfield in Milwaukee as well. Go to Robert Hack, H-A-A-C-K, diamonds.com. Joining us here inside the what is this called? The Bear Hut or something? Sunroom. The Bear Sunroom Studio is what it is. The Bear's Den? I don't know what the hell it is. Joining us down here is Stephen Watson from WISN 12 here in Milwaukee. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. These are nice digs.
This is nice. At some point, I'm going to turn the heat down a little bit. On one side, I've got the window cracked and my feet are cold. On the other side, my head is hot. So I'm sweating up top and freezing down below. But, hey, you get used to it after a while. It's for the kids.
Exactly. And this is a great thing that you guys do. My fiance works at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin.
Does she really?
She's a physician assistant there. And she knows what this type of stuff can do to these
right.
kids. And giving back to them and giving them a little bit of a smile as they battle the toughest things in their lives and their families, too, that go through it. It's not always just about a patient. It's about the family as well. So it's amazing what you guys have done.
Let me ask you this. As we get into the sports world of things, all the talk right now is about the Packers. It's about what's wrong. How do you see what's going on in Green Bay?
I think it's broken. I really do. I think that this has gotten to the point where change is going to be a good thing for this organization. I think the obvious one is going to be top-down with Mike McCarthy. I think it's a no-brainer at this point, unless they get to the Super Bowl.
Most people feel that way,
I don't think that's a reach.
I mean,
if they
ended up winning out and, say, winning two games, getting to an NFC Championship game, I could kind of see saying, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This guy was able to put it all back together.
And I've been listening all day, and I know that a lot of people feel Aaron Rodgers not playing his best. His numbers kind of mask that a little bit.
Right.
But how could you argue? The guy's missing throws that he hasn't missed over the last couple of years. And a lot of that has to do, I think, because of his relationship with Mike McCarthy. There's a trust issue there, and you can see it in the mannerisms of Aaron on the sidelines. You can see it in the play calling. I would love to find out. There's probably no way for us to find this out. How many plays does he change at the line of scrimmage? Because
he says very little, but then we've had, when we do the show on Monday night, I had three guys in a row, both on the air and off the air, say that he'll come into the huddle, he'll call the play.
Yeah.
Here you go. You know, X-Jet, 34 dig, whatever, okay, ready, break. But then he'll say something to Devontae or to Marquez and say, okay, you do this. I'm coming to you. So he'll change the play. Lance Kendrick said there was one play that they ran where Lance turned around and there was a guy, the other receiver was in front of him. And he's like, what the hell,
you know?
And you had now three defenders on two guys in one area with no window to throw it into, but that's the guy Aaron locked on. So he said, while everybody else ran the play, Aaron changed one route, then in essence changed the play to fit it into one matchup to one guy. But by that point in time, he had to go because there was no place to throw the football.
And you can see that on tape. I mean, they look like a mess on some of these offensive plays. And the feeling that I have is he trusts two people on that offense, David Bakhtiari And Davante Adams.
And Davante Adams, yeah.
I think those are the only two players that he really trusts in this offensive scheme. He certainly doesn't trust Mike McCarthy. I think that change is going to be a good thing for this team. I know that he's toward the back end of his career, but a new, youthful, some sort of creativity that could be brought to this offense. Right. I know that he had to be licking his chops watching that Monday Night Football the other day.
I know. And that the funny thing is, though, is that, you know, people said, well, who would you rather have right now, Baker Mayfield or Aaron Rodgers? And people were shocked when I said Baker Mayfield. And the reason being is if I had to go the remainder of the season with one of the two, I'd want to see if Baker Mayfield ran the offense the way it's supposed to be run, if it works. Because if it works, then it's not the offense. It's the guy operating the offense. But it doesn't work, and it's all ISO routes, and nobody's getting open, and there's problems, and you're not throwing to spots, you're throwing to open jerseys. Then, okay, then things begin to point towards the quarterback. But
Aaron's made enough of those throws in his career that you have to buy him that time. You have
correct.
To buy him that opportunity to make those big plays. We saw it in Dallas a couple of years ago. You know, that
schoolyard right,
base,
right.
Backyard football that led to that game-winning drive against the Cowboys. I mean, Aaron's made enough throws in his career that you have to give him that opportunity. It's his team. It's not Mike McCarthy's team. I think they've made that very clear.
Right.
I still think you gotta lean on your star. You're paying him that much money, and change is going to be a good thing for this team. And I think it needs to come sooner than later if you want to keep him feeling young again as this team is still competitive. I mean, they should be a playoff team year in and year out.
And I've said this before, and people say, well, you know, it's not that big. No, this is the biggest decision Brian Gutekunst is going to make. And the reason being is because whoever obviously it's Mark Murphy's decision to fire, to go to the board and say this is the change we're going to make. But for Gutekunst or whomever to hire the next head coach, you can't screw around for 3 years and go, well, it didn't work. This has got to be right now.
Yeah.
So do you go with an offensive guy or do you just go with a good head coach who can then hire a really good offensive guy? Because let's be honest, Mike Pettine has done wonders with what he's had to work with. I don't necessarily want to see Mike Pettine, much like when Vic Fangio wanted to be the head coach but didn't get it, and they kept him down in Chicago. I don't want to see Mike Pettine go. I'd like to see him stick around to give him more talent to work with.
Well, I think that leads into your question. I think if you're going to have Mike Pettine, you're going to be able to keep him in Green Bay,
right.
Then give me an offensive mind.
Right.
Give me somebody that can create something with this offense and maybe allow Aaron not to check down at the line of scrimmage. Maybe allow Aaron to feel motivated and love the play
call.
That's
the next question. Who do you hire that can tell Aaron, it's got time to go back to the basics? Get back to footwork, get back to
plans. Can they get a guy like Josh McDaniels? I don't know.
Do you want him? I mean, the name that I was listening yesterday, Mike Florio, kept pounding over and over again, but he wants to go to Cleveland, is Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
He's got the age. He's got the respect. He did wonders for Andrew Luck when he was down in Indianapolis. He revived Carson Palmer's career until the injuries just caught up with him and he couldn't play anymore. And then they got rid of his defense and he couldn't do anything after that. But would you want a guy like Bruce Arians?
Well, he's a well-respected guy who's won.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've seen this in other sports. They trend toward the younger, more innovative
right.
lines. And you
but
wonder
do you go younger with a quarterback who's veteran destined for the Hall of Fame?
I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would love Sean McVay as his head coach right now. You know, I'm sure he would love a late 30s coach that has some sort of creativity. I don't mind Bruce Arians, you know, to your question. I think that could be a good fit here in Green mm-hmm. Bay. It's an established guy that would have a defensive coordinator if he's able to keep Mike Pettine. That could work. That partnership could work. I wouldn't mind that. But the answer is obvious that it's not going to be McCarthy. And they need to make that change. I wouldn't even mind it before the end of this year at this point. I mean,
don't do that. That's just not what they do.
They feel like they owe it to him. You know, he's been the coach for 13 years.
I mean, it would not surprise me if they came out and said, you know, hey, Mike is just burned out. He wants to take a year off. He's decided to step down. You know, make it very soft.
Kind of Ted Thompson-like.
You know,
he's going to remain in the organization.
Yeah, he'll remain upstairs doing something. We've got some Legos for him in the corner office.
Or he'll be the next head coach in Cleveland.
Well, see, I don't know that either. I mean, I know there's rumors about Harbaugh going away. So does he go over and then to work with Joe Flacco? Work with an experienced quarterback? Or does he just want a young quarterback? And does he want to get back into it right away? I don't know what his relationship was with John Dorsey and Elliot Wolf and everybody. Because remember, he didn't want Russ Ball as his general manager. You know, so he wanted somebody else in the organization. Well, Elliot Wolf and everybody's gone. They hire Gutekunst, which in essence he gave the stamp of approval to, which makes his whole dynamic so incredibly weird.
Well,
doesn't
it? That whole top-down with the Packers organization is odd. I mean, it's almost – I compare this team a lot to the Bucks because – the Bucks having three owners. A lot of people were like, how are they going to do this?
And apparently the infighting between those three owners right now is awful.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a buyout at the end of the year.
And there's going to be a change in power. You know, Wes Edens is going to take over after this year as the main owner of the three.
Well, they want him out.
Yeah.
Well, they want him gone. There's such an anger. The rumors I hear, I don't know all the specifics, but I've heard enough where I've been stopped on the street to say what's going on, that there's some real issues down there right now.
Well, they're very type A people that are power hungry, and I'm sure that when you get heads buttoned like that, that's going to create some stress and drama and feelings. But when you look at how that organization operates right now, they hired a new GM in John Horst, who didn't have big name to him. He'd been in the organization kind of a lot like Brian Gutekunst. I think Brian is a little more well-respected going into his role as GM, but they made a splashy hire in Mike Budenholzer. It's worked out pretty darn good for that team.
Yeah.
And it's brought new life to that organization, and that's what the Packers need. They need something like that.
Let's do this. We'll talk a little Bucks when we come back, because I want to get back into that as well. Stay tuned. Sitting here with Stephen Watson from WISN 12, the news anchor, sports reporter there, who is kind enough to join us down here on site. Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. We're down here for the 12th annual WSSP Toy Drive, benefiting Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Please stop by and make a nice donation. We certainly would appreciate it. I want to say thanks to Mike, who dropped off $20. Craig from Menominee Falls donated a boatload of toys a little while ago. I want to say thanks to everybody that's come by, but we can't finish this without you. So please, if you're within the sound of our voice today, tomorrow, Friday, come on down, 6A to 6P. We're all here, so hang on out with us. Drop off some toys. Come down and share some joy. We would certainly appreciate it. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad to have you. Hey, a couple of things. First of all, a shout-out. We're down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek for the Toy Drive. Thanks to our friends from Allstate who are here today. The volunteers from Allstate are here collecting the toys and collecting donations. So if you come on by, I would say you are in good hands. Ha-ha! Ah, see, I don't pay attention, do I? Hell no. And then also brought to you by our good friends at the Neumel Medical Center. Guys struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about this pill or that pill. Why? Because the underlying health issue could be just normal aging or something else. So the problem with the pills are they don't get to the root of the problem, and they have the nasty side effects as well. So call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you can see results on the very first visit. Otherwise, that visit is free. And if you're sluggish, maybe you're moody, you got the brain fog, whatever, you could have some low T. I went through the exact same thing. Anybody over the age of 30 should really go get tested. And thanks to Neumel, plenty of energy to get through my crazy life, busy schedule, all that kind of stuff. And if you're wanting to shed some pounds, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. I'm down over 50, kept it off, feeling great, feel younger, getting back in the game. Guys, I'm telling you, just call, especially this time of year. Just call. Give the gift of you at the Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451 in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Call them today, 414-455-4451. Stephen Watson from Channel 12, which is WISN here in Milwaukee, the sports reporter and anchor, joining us here inside our mobile studios here. So we were talking Bucks before we left. We finished up with the Packers for the most part, and I wanted to get to the Bucks because the Bucks are an interesting conundrum because they started out like a comet. They've burned extremely white and extremely hot. They've cooled off a little bit as of late, defensively speaking. And when they go cold, it seems to affect everything. But where would you put this team? If you're going to look at the East, where would you put this team right now?
Preseason, I had them probably 4. Right now, I have them 2-3.
Yeah.
I still think Boston is the best team. They have the best.
Everybody does, but they're just,
But these, they're
not pulling it out right
now. Yeah, they'll regress to the mean. You know, they'll find their balance there. They just have too much talent on that roster right now. And Brad Stevens is still, I believe, the best coach in the East.
Yeah.
That I think that they'll figure it out. I just think that talent will always outweigh scheme at this point.
You had mentioned Budenholzer. We were talking about that and the hiring of Budenholzer. Just from what I hear, was fundamentally Jason Kidd instilled a lot of things that are good, but he is the black cloud that hung over that facility is gone, and Budenholzer brought in a bunch of sunshine, and everybody feels great and loves the guy, and it's just a different atmosphere going to work now.
It's really interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was at Shootaround, and we were talking to Giannis and Malcolm Brogdon, and specifically about Jason Kidd was brought up. And they mentioned just the mannerisms that he coaches with. Mm-hmm. He's a shouter. He makes you feel bad. He belittles you. And Giannis always respected him so much because he's the one that changed Giannis's game. He made Giannis into a point guard, which has really, you know, brought his game to the next level. So he respected Jason like that. And Giannis is the type of player that will respect anybody he works with just because that's how he operates.
That's kind of how he's got that instilled in him.
Yeah, yeah.
From his family.
He's a very mature,
yeah.
very, you know, understanding. You know, he definitely appreciates just the opportunity that he has right now in the NBA. Malcolm Brogdon, his case was a little bit more interesting because he and Kidd butt heads a lot. You know, they had a lot of issues. Remember Kidd benched him for a lot of last season, brought him off the bench, and Malcolm put on a smile and made it all happen. But he did not shy away at the opportunity to say how much better this team is and the atmosphere and the camaraderie inside that locker room is now just with a change of a head coach. Forget scheme. I mean, the scheme is obvious. The team is shooting twice as many three-pointers. They're making twice as many three-pointers. But this team has come together and rallied around this guy, and they seem happier, and they seem to trust each other more, and they believe that they can come back in games. I remember that Bulls game that they were down double digits, 20-plus points in the first half the last time they played Chicago. And I said to Malcolm, I was like, that's a game you would have lost last year. He goes, no question.
Right.
But there's something different about this team. They believe that they are as talented as the record is showing right now. And I think that does a lot for an organization, for a team, when you have that type of confidence as a group.
They have, when people say, well, you got to look at the proof. Well, they're through almost a quarter of the season. They have beaten the best teams in the league. They've beaten them all.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a team that's considered one of the best that they have not beaten yet.
Yeah, 14 of their first 17 games are against teams that were 500 or better.
Right. So it's not as if this team isn't competing and they're beating up rum-dums. I mean, they're beating up some of the best of the best. Now, Draymond Green wasn't playing and Steph goes down midway through the game, and I get all that, but they're beating these teams, and they're not beating them by a little and struggling. They're beating them by a lot. What I have noticed is when you talk about coming back, that they have the ability to believe they're coming back, they're getting down too early.
Yeah.
And they're taking it too easy to say, you know, no big deal. We'll come back and win this ball game. And they're expending a lot of energy, man, trying to come back. And that's going to end up hurting you in a back-to-back. And that's where I see problems.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Budenholzer now corrects that. Because this is the first area, if I can say any even limited amount of adversity this team has faced, is consistently getting down in ball games now.
And I think that this is what happens to teams that shoot a lot of threes. If you're not making them.
Right.
Then you'd find yourself in a hole really quickly.
It affects their defensive, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The defensive end.
Exactly. Because you're trying to push the floor, you're trying to get out, and then you can't get guys back on defense in time. And they're losing a lot of points in the paint to these teams. I think that's definitely the main thing that this team is trying to work through right now is how to get over the fact that, hey, if our shots aren't falling, we do still have a superstar that can get us 30 points in the paint if we need to. But we still need a couple more guys. I mean, Brook Lopez going 0 for 12 the other night. I mean, those type of games, they just can't happen. They have to find a way to balance the fact that, hey, if the shots aren't falling, we're going to be able to get mid-range guys to figure it out. And I think their depth has been one of their unsung heroes this year. To have, Eric Bledsoe is a starter, but him and Brogdon, I mean, those guys are starting to really kind of come into their own a little bit offensively as well. It's taking the pressure off of Giannis night in and night out. That was something we didn't see last year. Last year it was, let's give the ball to Giannis, let's open this floor, let Giannis go one-on-one. And now it's, you can do that, but Giannis is going to kick out to four different guys to shoot a three.
And the fact that they're hitting it beyond the arc has opened up the middle. Because his inside penetration has become so much easier. He's not getting tackled the way he was last year.
He's on pace to shatter the NBA record in dunks this year.
I mean, it's crazy right now, the inside game that he can have because of the outside shooting. We mentioned John Horst before. Now, I know Budenholzer was a splash hire. I know that was a name that everybody was kind of gearing for, and I know that the rumors were inside that building that he was going to be the guy. I mean, that's what ownership wanted. How much do you believe, have you become a believer, or do you not believe, because you believe ownership's pulling the strings, but in John Horst and the ability? They brought in DiVincenzo. Connington has certainly been a breath of fresh air. Brook Lopez, Yersin Ilyasova. Yersin Ilyasova wanted to live here, so it was kind of a no-brainer to bring him back. But how much credit do you give John Horst for what he's been able to do and accomplish thus far? And then more so, what he's about to do, because something will happen here towards the trade deadline that you figure they're going to better this team in some way.
Well, I think – the obvious free agent, you know, transaction bringing in Mike Budenholzer was probably the biggest move in free agency this offseason. But Brook Lopez is having a career year for the Bucks.
Yeah. Ersan, and enjoys it here.
Yeah, and enjoys it. Yeah, and he likes us. I mean, what big guy doesn't love shooting threes? I mean, this, that's what they dream about as kids. They never got to do that. Now they have an opportunity to do that all the time. And he's been pretty good defensively as well. Ersan has actually been a little bit underwhelming, I think, so far. But I think that he'll find his role a little bit off the team. Connaughton has been better than expected, I think.
I don't think anybody expected anything out of Connaughton. And all of a sudden, he's just come on. He reminds me, the fact that he's an assistant coach in this team, he reminds me of Darvin Ham.
Yeah.
He comes in, he'll give you a dunk, he'll give you a shot, he'll give you a big three, he'll give you a defensive play, a steal, and then, boom, all of a sudden he's gone.
I know who it's good for? It's good for Dante DiVincenzo, because Connaughton's a better Dante DiVincenzo right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like for Dante, he doesn't have to have that pressure to be that splashy, you know, sexy, high-flying, you know, guard that we thought he was going to be when he came to the Bucks, and he was going to help them right away. And I think going back to your question about Horst, I still am not a full believer in him as a drafter. You know, as far as I was never a fan of that DJ Wilson pick.
No.
I know Thon Maker was,
I don't think
was
anybody
a
Hammond
pick. Yeah. I liked Dante DiVincenzo. I think they maybe got him a little too high. But it's hard to hate on that pick right now because it's still so early.
Right.
But I think Horst is – he hasn't made any huge, huge moves because I don't believe that Budenholzer was his decision.
No, I don't think so either. But I think at least they said – because I think they did it right in the sense of Budenholzer is going to be our guy. But before we announce this time and step in it, let's send him out to everybody else to say, okay, you put your stamp of approval on it, so therefore you're taking ownership of this as much as we are.
Yeah.
And I think they did it right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm fully on board with – I haven't had enough things to rip on John Horst about. He's a very nice guy.
Not that we're really looking, but you just go. When they hired him, everybody had a raised eyebrow because John Hammond had a successor. They brought him in. You figured this was the guy, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, what happened? You know.
Yeah, hey, you have to be happy about Bucks basketball right now.
Absolutely.
It's brought a whole new energy to the city coming off that Brewers season. I mean, Milwaukee sports.
Yeah,
it's a good place to be right now.
Yep, no doubt about it. Hey, man, appreciate you coming by. Speaking of Milwaukee sports, real quick, I know we cover the entire state, but Badger basketball, Marquette basketball, UWM basketball. We're going to see 2-3 teams in the tournament, do you think, this year?
Because
Green Bay's playing
one.
Extremely well, too.
Yeah, I think we'll get two in. I think Marquette has the talent. I think they're still trying to figure it out right now with a lot of new faces that are seeing, you know, Brendan Bailey and Ed Morrow, guys that are new to the team that are going to kind of work themselves into that system a little bit. But they have enough talent to get to the tournament. I think the Badgers are definitely going to be – I think they'll be ranked all season. I don't know if they'll crack the top 15, top 10.
They win top four in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think they'll get back into that where Bo lived his entire career as head coach. I think Gard will get them back there this year.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having
Thanks
me.
So
a great
much.
Thing you guys are doing here.
No, appreciate it. Thank you. You make us shine a little bit while we're down here, man. Thanks so much. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. The bullpen catcher and our guy, Marcus Hanel for the Milwaukee Brewers, is going to be joining us here inside the Bear Sunroom Studios. Coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.